Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, find out what your responsibility is to walk in God's perfect protection. It's not just up to Him. We've got to do our part. Hello and welcome back to the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. I'm John Copeland and I'm glad you could join us today. It means a lot to us that you'd take time out of your life to be here with us. And I'm telling you, it's been really good. Been not good all week. You know, thank God it's Friday, but we really had a good week. We had a good week last week. I've been having the privilege of having Brother Keith Moore here. Pastor?
Brother John.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's been great. I've learned a lot from these last 2 weeks.
Praise God.
And Brother Keith has a church there, Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Gosh, it's a good place to go to church. If you're anywhere up there, please go by there and see he and Phyllis. They're doing a great work there. And all week, this week and last week, we have talked about Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the focus of the teaching. And in that, what that scripture is a protection chapter. And it really is relevant to today. I mean, whole book is relevant to today. But it's real easy to go through there and see how this is a message that you need. Really, any time of life, I'm sure everybody that was living thought, well, this is the toughest times it's ever been. But really, what we're living in now is the last days. And scripturally, we know that the world is going to get darker and darker. Things, you know, natural disasters and terrorism and all these kind of things that really were fulfilling biblical prophecy as we live today. And so in these times, we don't have to be scared. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you don't have to be scared about what's coming. You don't have to be afraid that, you know, oh, this is all going to turn bad. First of all, we're going to get yanked out of here before it gets too bad. But second of all, God has a protection. He has a protection that He wants to protect you. He wants to cover you with His wings. But at the same time, for you to walk in that protection, there's certain things you have to do as well to stay in that bubble, to stay in that atmosphere of protection. And so if you missed any of the broadcasts, go back online. You can watch all those and you can catch back up to where we're at today, because every one of them is paramount, really, for your safety and your family's safety. Brother Keith, on this Friday, the last day of talking about this, where do we need to come to wrap this thing up, to bring this to a head? I mean, do we need to talk about, I guess, can a little bit about what's the big picture here?
Right.
You know, why is it, I guess most people know it's important to be protected, but what's God's idea about why we're to be protected? Where is He taking us with this?
The Bible says, John, that all things were created for God's pleasure. And though many people live and die and never even believe in God, much less ask Him about His plan for their life, yet you and I know, and thank God so many of the partners watching and people hooked up, we were born not by accident, but for this time and the places where God has brought us up and sent us to, and He's got a specific plan and a course for our life, and He intends that we run our entire race and finish our entire course, do everything that He had put us down here to do before we live out our life and go to be with Him, or He comes back home, back to take us home with Him beforehand. Of course, the enemy doesn't want that. The devil's perfect will for us is that we die and go to hell with him. But if we get saved, too late for that, we've missed his perfect plan. So if he can't have his perfect will in our life, his acceptable will is that we go to heaven now.
Now, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Don't do what God's told.
Don't tell anybody else about Jesus. Don't do anything for God. Get out of the way. And so the way, you know, he has numerous ways he tries to take us out early. Now, you know, the Lord didn't tell us we're going to live down here forever in these mortal bodies, and we don't want to. I mean, If I knew I'm done, I'm ready to go to be with Him. But I know I'm not done. I know there's a lot that needs to be done, and all of us have our jobs to do. But the devil would try to take us out early with a car wreck or a plane crash or a disease or a crime. He has all these things. And what this 91st Psalm, praise God, is telling us is that God will keep us through all of this stuff. And you get down to verse 16, the very last verse of the psalm, and he said, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And what that means is you made it all the way. You know, if you back up and see, he talked about the terror, the pestilence, the plagues, people falling at your side, evil, the lion and adder and young lion, all these things, what verse 16 is saying, none of them took you out. You didn't die from the disease. You didn't die in the war. You didn't die from the accident. You didn't die from the crime. You didn't die from all these plagues and ailments. You made it all the way. And that's the will of God for all of us, John. Every one of us are supposed to, you know, people have tried to say, well, you know, they were the good boy, good girl. They loved the Lord, died at age 18 in that car crash. It was the will of God. We just don't know why. No, I'm sorry. If they were a believer, they're with the Lord. That's better than being here. It's true. But to say that it was God's perfect will for them to be cut off in midlife and never reach their full potential and do all that they could have done
and
in the Lord.
You hear it almost every funeral, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Yeah.
We don't know why.
Yeah.
And we do know that wasn't him.
No, it's not him. He is not the thief. You think about it. I mean, person in young life, person in midlife, somebody's child was stolen, somebody's friend was taken from them, somebody's spouse, somebody's dad, somebody's mom in the middle, in their prime of life. That's stealing. Something was stolen from them, and they know that. I've had people look at me, and a preacher had just told them that God took their brother, and he was just a young boy. It took him, you know. He looked at me with anger in his eye. He said, well, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with him. Well, it wasn't God. God didn't steal that man's brother. God didn't steal somebody's wife, somebody's husband. He's not the thief.
A lot of people turn their back on God because of that.
They have.
Over the years.
But
lost a child or
yeah.
a wife or something, and then they're mad at God.
Yeah.
And God's getting the blame for something that he didn't have anything to do with.
They're wrong. They're wrong. But according to this, I'm going to say, well, he's almighty. He could have protected me. Yes, but he can't violate his word. He cannot lie. And this is what he's told us to do. We've been through this these whole 2 weeks, like you said, John. And let me just review a little bit. He said our part was to say, the Lord's my refuge, my fortress. Our part is don't fear. Don't fear anything. Don't fear disease. Don't fear calamity. He also instructed us to follow his direction, to follow his leadings, his guidance. We talked about yesterday's broadcast, we got authority over these things. We must exercise them. And here he said what he would do for us. If you read through this psalm, he said he'll cover us. He'll protect us with his wings, with his feathers. He's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. He's commanded us, he's given us his word, I should say, obligated that he will lead us. He will warn us. He's given us authority and power. But here, that he would take us all the way. I've got about three scriptures, if we could read here, that he committed to us that he'll see us from the start to the finish. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And Hebrews says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He that's begun a good work in us, he will complete it. He will finish it. Listen to these. And if you got, mark these down if you're taking notes or something. Genesis 28:15, he says, I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. You know, sometimes I like to say it like this, I'm going all the way. I'm making it. I'm finishing this thing. And it's not because Keith Moore is so smart or knows so much. It's because I have faith in God to keep me. Have confidence that He loves me enough that if I'm not getting it, He'll tell me again. If I don't get it four times, He'll crank up the volume. And if I'm still not getting it, He'll send somebody to help me. If I fall down, He'll pick me up. But I'm going to make it because He's faithful to me.
I love your teaching on longevity. You know, my mom picked it up and she started preaching that as well.
She's done an outstanding job.
That understanding that it doesn't matter how long people say you should live, what medical doctors say you should live, it's really till you're satisfied.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, 120 years sounds good to me.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not satisfied before then, that's you know, what I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important to get in your, you know, when people talk about going all the way.
Right.
How far is all the way?
Right.
What are they seeing in their mind? You know, what are you seeing in your mind when you think about you living old? Is that 70?
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, living past 65 would have been huge.
Right.
Because his dad died and his dad before him died at 50. So I think, you know, when you start talking about going all the way, you need to get in your mindset how far all the way is and when that's going to be. I wouldn't cut it any shorter than I had to.
No.
I mean, you know, to be absent from here is to be present with the Lord. But, you know, I think in part of this is we have a part. Mm-hmm. God has a part as He wants to see us live out our days.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that our part would be, what do we do with those days while we're here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, while we're here, we have a part to play.
We do.
Whether you're a school teacher or a pastor or an automobile mechanic, you're anointed to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to be fulfilling what God's promises are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be fivefold ministry to be a minister. We're all ministers.
Mm-hmm.
We're all called to bring people into the kingdom.
Right.
I mean, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, if God's part is giving us these days and fulfill our life, then our part is to make the best of that.
No question.
For Him.
No question. That, you know, we talked a couple of days ago on the broadcast. I shared about a man that I had spoke with that they shot all those automatic weapons and the bullets didn't hit him, and he and I were talking. He's sharing his testimony now. He's, you know, glorifying God and doing what he can for the kingdom. Well, he had a sense, even during that, that God's not through with me. I've got things to do, so I can't die, even though all these bullets are being fired at me. And there's something that's gotten me through some, you know, pressure places and something that just happened to Paul. In fact, I'll turn there in Acts 27 at a point where it looked like he's going to die. He's in danger. He's a prisoner. This is Acts 27. He's a prisoner in the hull of a ship, and they didn't listen to him. He had a check. He had a something the Spirit of God dealt with him to tell him don't go on this trip, but they didn't listen to him. And since he wasn't in charge, and the owner of the ship and the guy that was making the decisions, the captain, thought they knew more about it, and he's just a preacher, he don't know. So they ignored him, ignored the Holy Ghost. Now, they've been in this hurricane for days. And I mean, it looks like they're all going to die for sure. But in this, in Acts 27, Paul got to praying. And the Lord responded to him. And in verse 23... Acts 27:23. He said, there stood by me this night an angel of God. We talked earlier about angels being involved in our protection. Whose I am, the God, whose I am and whom I serve, said, I belong to God, I serve God. And he said, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And God has given you all them that sail with you. And so he said, sirs, I be of good cheer, cheer up. I believe God. It'll be just like it was told me. It's going to happen that way. The thing that the word that the angel brought him from God is you can't die out here because you haven't done what I told you to do. See, on the road to Damascus, when he met Jesus, he saw that bright light and he fell and he got saved that day. The Lord told him, you're going to bear my name before kings, before the Gentiles. And he hadn't done all that. And he's out there, and it looks like these people didn't listen. They didn't take heed to the Lord. It looks like we're all going to drown out here. The Bible said all hope was taken away that we should be saved. Everybody thought they're going to die. Talking about dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. But he got that in his spirit. The Lord reminded him, no, I told you, you were going to stand before kings. And that's where he was on his way, you know, to Rome. You haven't done it. So you can't die out here. I don't care what kind of storm's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't care if the boat's coming apart. God's bigger than the boat, than the storm, than all that. You can't die out here. You haven't finished your course.
It helps build your faith, doesn't it? When you know that uh-huh. God's got something for you, a purpose.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times people, even though they may be Christians, they never have found that purpose, or they don't have a realization mm-hmm. of God's got a purpose for me to be right. on this earth. They go to work. They have a job.
Yeah.
They make a living. They have a family, good family. But, okay, what's my purpose mm-hmm. for being here?
Yeah.
How would you encourage somebody to find that purpose? Because everybody's got one.
Yeah.
We all have something that God has for us.
Yeah.
And understanding that I have a purpose, one, it's your life's more fulfilling.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are trying to fill that void
with all
the time.
Kind of things.
Yeah, with all
yeah.
kinds of charities or mm-hmm. do-goods or save the whales mm-hmm. or whatever. So how would you encourage somebody then, you know, I want to live out my days. I want to fulfill what God's called me to do. I want mm-hmm. to be in that place that I know my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people feel like if they don't know their purpose, there's got to be a void there. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage somebody to find that purpose?
Well, the beginning, John, is a willingness to do it. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, one translation says, wills to do his will. I believe this is in John 7. He will know of the doctrine, the teaching, whether it's of God or whether it's of man. And the point I'm emphasizing in that phrase is, if you're willing, you'll know. Whether it's God or whether it's man. And there's so many folks, God knows their heart, they're not willing. If he told them what to do, they wouldn't do it. They don't want to hear it. They got their life. They got their plan. So there's no need in him even talking to them, because they'd only be, you know, just in more disobedience when he talks to them. You have to get before the Lord. And I know Phyllis and I did this, and I know your parents did this before they went to ORU and these kind of things. And you've got to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I am willing. I'm from the bottom of my heart to do anything you want me to do. I'll stay here. I'll leave here. I'll go help anybody. I'll do anything and mean it. And get before the Lord and open your heart. If you'll do that, he said he'll cause you to know. Seek and you'll find. Ask and it'll be given to you. He will make you to know it, but it's going to take a step of faith. Mm-hmm. But if you're not desirous to know his will or to live his will, then you're doing your own thing. And you're going a path and a route that God never picked for you. It's like you're going on a trip from East Coast to West Coast. Well, if you get off the route that was planned, that means you're going to go through towns you weren't going to go through mm-hmm. on this other route. A tree was across the road in the middle of the night and you hit it and it tore up your fender. Well, if you'd been on the right route, there would have been no tree. There would have been no wreck. You know, things happen on the wrong route. You go through places and towns you never would have went through. Well, on the route that God has planned for us, you go through Healingville, Prosperity Town, Victory, blessings, promotions. The Bible said it gets brighter and brighter, better and better to the full day sun. On the wrong path, on your own path, you go through all kind of stuff. And there are people, Christians right now, that cry and say, God, why am I going through all this? You know, why are you putting all this on me? And he didn't. They picked another path than he had for them. And that's also why many die prematurely. Many don't live out half their days. They die from things they shouldn't have died from because they're not doing his will. They're not in his path, so they're not in his protection.
What if you took that path? You know you took the wrong path.
Yeah.
You didn't know it at the time, or probably wouldn't have taken that path. Mm. But it may be obvious and evident now that you missed God.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been going down this path for a while, how do you get back on track to be, I mean, in some cases it's hard to reverse back and go back to that moment. That moment may have come and gone.
Yeah.
And so here you are, you're going down this path, but I want to get back on the right track. What would they do to get back on that right track?
It's never too late, John. Never too late. And it's amazing, you know, God's people in the Old Testament got off his path and forsook him for years and decades at a time. But then he would tell them, if you'll come back to me, if you'll repent, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm and caterpillar ate up. The things that you lost, even when people have rebelled against God and been disobedient, it's amazing. He will restore to you. He can do more at 3 years in the will of God than you messed up for 30 years out of the will of God. He's so merciful, so gracious, so good. But you got to do what we're talked about. You got to come before him. You got to lay your heart and say, God, forgive me. I am willing to do anything you want me to do, and not just be talk. You really are willing. And he may tell you, get out of this profession. Go over here and do this. Leave this place. Go to another state. Go to another country. And you got to be willing to do it. But you need to know he'll never lead you in a wrong area. It's going to be good. It's going to be a blessing.
I mean, he may call you to go to some country that you would think, there's no way I'd like to go to that country.
Yeah.
Probably the odds are probably he's not going to call you to another country, but he might. But if you went to that country, no matter what the circumstances were in that country, if you were in the will of God, it's going to be the best place in your life. You'll be the most happy, the most satisfied, the most pleased.
Yes.
So if you've made that, say you made that wrong decision at some point in your life, you went down a path, you realize now that you shouldn't have gone, and you regret it, then like Brother Keith said, you just have to stop, repent before God, acknowledge the fact that you've missed that, and that you are eager to do and to follow him, and then hearken unto his voice. Get in the Word, spend time in it, get to know his voice so you can hear it when he speaks. But if you do that, and then you make a quality decision now, I'm going to follow God no matter what, then you can be right back on that right path like you never missed a beat. God will make sure that you will be back to where you need to be so that in these last days, in your days, you'll fulfill your days, but you'll also fulfill that calling that he's called on your life.
Yes.
And that really is the biggest thing, you know. You want to fulfill what God told you to do. It's been good, I'm telling you.
Oh, it has been.
I've learned a lot.
Glory
to God.
Hey,
we'll be right back here in just a minute.
I believe that when he speaks to our hearts, we know that it's for a reason. He obviously sees what's coming up ahead more than we do, and he's able to send whatever vehicle he can to get his message across to you, to protect you, to warn you, and to lead you where you're supposed to go.
I think we should listen to God's voice and obviously be open to hear from him. And then when he speaks to us, we should follow his voice. Because if we're not obeying him, then I don't think we're covered in it. You know, we have to be willing to listen to his voice.
He can keep us from falling. He can keep us from anything. But he does guard and direct us and protect us from things that we don't even often know we're protected from.
Psalm 91 says that he that dwelleth in the secret place, it's a choice first. You have to choose to dwell there. And I like that word. It means to live there. You can't go in and you can't come out. You have to live in him.
Well, thanks for staying with us. And, you know, Fridays is offering day. That's what the Lord directed Dad to do, is have Fridays as offering day. Now, I know on this broadcast, any of y'all that's watched it over the years, you've never heard Dad get on here and say, you got to help us. If you don't give, we're going to go under. You know, you'll never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never hear Dad ask for money. It's an opportunity for you to be blessed. You know, Paul, what scripture, well, Paul says, it's not for my... for me, but that it's to see you blessed.
Yeah, Philippians, that it may abound to your account.
For it may be bound to your account.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're not going under. You know, God's in control of this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
God meets our needs. And so that's why you never hear that. We never put pressure on people for money or any of those kind of things. Now, it's not, you know, the gospel's free, but it's not cheap, as they say, you know. I mean, we spend millions and millions of dollars every year, I mean, just on television alone. And I know in your ministry, you operate much the same way. Mm. What we do here is we try to see, okay, how can we get the word out? That's what the Lord directed Dad years ago. How do you get, you know, find ways to get the word out, and he'll worry about getting the money in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his operation.
Right.
If God can't make it run, we surely can't.
Right.
If God can't provide the finances, we can't. And I know that's much the same the way you run your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you join us, and let's pray over, you lead us, and we'll pray over the people's seed that they're going to be sowing into the ministry.
Absolutely. John, I was thinking when you said that in this prayer to release faith this way, everything produces after its own kind. And what you sow into is going to produce after the kind of soil. This ministry, I know from some experience, is a ministry of faith and excellence. And so sow into this and believe to come up in your own life, to come up to a higher level of excellence today. Let's pray over your seed right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sow good seed into good ground today, and it's your will for us to come up from faith to faith, grace to grace, level to level. So we're sowing good seed into a high level of excellence ministry, and we claim more excellence in our own life. We claim to come up to a greater level of glorifying you in our whole life and churches and ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, you got to get in church this weekend. You know, it's important to be together with the body. And if you're anywhere near Branson, you need to get up to Brother Keith and Phyllis' church there. Mom and Dad are going to be there March 6th through the 8th. So be sure and join us there for that meeting. I tell you what, Brother Keith, I have learned a lot.
I've enjoyed it, John.
And I know everybody else has. Thanks for joining us. This is John Copeland and Keith Moore reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. This is my friend Billy Brim. We want you to join us for some broadcasts. We're talking about understanding the time and day we live in, what the Bible says about the end of days. God gives signs. We should know what His signs are, fixed times, fixed dates. He wants us to know. We'll see you then.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.